B-Pod Studios.
So Kyler Murray, for three quarters, he can't hit anything, right? He's completely lost. First game as a starting quarterback. And then Patricia goes to prevent defense, right? So then when he plays soft like that, the kid gets confident. And then all of a sudden, bing, 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 game's tied. And you're in overtime because you allowed the kid to get hot by playing soft coverage.
You grease the skids for him to get a rhythm.
And you know who never does that? You know who never does that?
Bill Belichick.
Belichick. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Schwartz did it.
I know he did.
Against Carolina Panthers last year, you recall?
And he'll tell you every time. That's why we play. Everybody plays this way. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, they're going to get indignant, and they're going to look at you like, what do you mean? That's what you're supposed to do. Every game's different. Like, in the case of Kyler Murray.
Yep.
Like, you got to know that, you know, what's working is working, right? Kid pressuring the kid, kid's lost. And you got to think to yourself, well, you know, I know 24-6, whatever the hell, well, yeah, it's 24-6, is a big lead, but it can go away in a hurry if guy gets hot and we turn the ball over. And stuff happens in that league,
yeah,
right? Like,
and
stuff
capture
happens.
Momentum.
I mean, look at the Texans. You're protecting that lead. There's no way in the world Breeze should. I love Breeze, and he's a Hall of Famer, you know, yesterday, right? But you can't allow him to go down the field and then go get field position and then to kick the game-winning field goal. You got to be up. You can't allow a free release to go get 7 yards and boom, you call timeout, you give yourself up, and then you get a chance for a field goal. Now, if you're playing, think about this for a second. You know that they had 6 seconds left in the game.
Yep.
He's got to get 7 yards at least.
Yep.
Minimum 7 yards. 6 seconds left. If you're press man, it's going to eat clock too, because it's going to take some time.
It takes time for it to develop.
For the receiver to wriggle free, and then Breeze is going to try to force it because he's looking at the clock. 6, 5, 4. Well, these guys are—it's unbelievable. Now I know it's Monday morning quarterback, and you know
Romeo Crennel's got to be smarter than that.
But they all do, like, and the same thing with Schwartz.
Well, Jim spoke yesterday. Here's what he had to say on adjustments from first half to second half.
We really didn't, you know, make a ton of changes at halftime. The guys just came out with more resolve, and they played the way that they can. We got third down stops. We played tight coverage, stopped the run, forced some penalties. Like I said, our pass rush wasn't the greatest as far as sacks and things like that, but we forced a lot of holding penalties, which stopped the drives or put the offense or their offense in some tough positions. We just got to get there. We got to get to where we're coming out and playing that way. No excuses. We didn't start that game the way we needed to.
Well, I would agree with that part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to get home. You got to get home. You got to force with hits on the quarterback and sacks, changing field position, and having them chasing the chains. Whew, man, his Q rating for me is so low.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'll say it a million times that he's a professional defensive coordinator, but he doesn't fit. You know, I wonder, is he a guy like they won the Super Bowl, but not because of him?
No, they made one stop in that game. That was Brandon Graham's strip sack. And you look at it too, Ant, like, you go back to the year and Bud Carson and all those defensive coordinators, they didn't. I don't know if passive is the right word for it or not, but there's a passivity to the way his strategy. It's not dictating, he's reacting as a defensive unit if he doesn't get pressure up front. That's hard.
Like, in fairness, and again, to what he's trying to do is make it easier on his secondary by not having, you know, blitzers.
Yeah, putting guys on an island. You're listening to 97.5, the Fanatic WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, and we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. How about going to South Jersey? Let's talk to Gary on the Fanatic. Hey, Gary.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Gary.
Hey, you know,
I can go 100 different ways here. I'll stick to defense to start. For me, when I look at the defense, and I love the blitz, you know, and I know you can't blitz half the game and everything else, but I look at the defensive line, and all I see a high majority of the time is a mush rush. Everybody just trying to blow gaps, going straight ahead. Like, where's the creativity? You know, I can't watch Barnett be 12 yards deep going around the quarterback and being no threat, and the guy just steps up and makes his throw in a clear lane. You know, why? I watch a team like Seattle, and they'll kick their tackles. They'll shade the outside shoulder of the offensive tackle,
right,
and have the ends real wide, and they run a little twist stunt. You know, sometimes you don't even have to do
that. Well, actually, I mean, Schwartz does a lot of that. I mean, it's a modified wide nine.
I don't see it. And show me where.
Well, I will tell you, I will tell you this. Like, when you look at tape, and I don't want to do the, like, give you the tape thing, right? But just because we're having a conversation. When you see it on tape, and it's so hard, and I know you're watching, and you're an educated man, Garrett. And it's really difficult to pick up because I didn't know how Barnett played. And then all of a sudden on tape, he's really, really active. But it's partly because he's lined up wide and trying to take advantage of his bend and his quickness around that way. I agree with you when it comes to, you know, some of his pressures. Like, he doesn't pressure enough, and when he does, they're not exotic. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Garrett.
I look at, like, the elite quarterbacks, right? Breeze, Brady, you know, Rodgers. Where do you have to attack those guys? In their face.
Yeah.
The ball is out of their hand so quick.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm saying, if I see Fletch, you know, all of a sudden he loops to the outside. He's taking two guys with him every time he goes. You get one guy in, he doesn't even have to sack the quarterback. But all of a sudden now, that pocket collapses, and now you have Barnett or you have Graham, you know, peeling in the face, and that ball's got to come out. And I don't see it. I really don't. And I'm a fan. I have the same, you know, I see McLeod, and to me, that guy is grapefruit, and grapefruit does nothing for me. I got a 60-inch television. The guy's 35 yards
off
the ball.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I like grapefruit, though. I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
I'm a fan of the grapefruit.
You add sugar on it?
No.
Okay.
But I'm a peel a lemon guy, so I like that's the tart.
Yeah.
But I agree with you when it comes to McLeod. I don't, quite frankly, know what the Tunis is looking at. When it comes to McLay, he's kind of one of my Banes.
He's your Aguilar of defense?
Yes. Like, I get he's a veteran, and I'm not saying he stinks, right?
Right.
But I don't think he's an elite.
I think he also allows Malcolm Jenkins to do a lot more stuff, too.
I do.
That's not a credit. Who allows Malcolm Jenkins to be Malcolm Jenkins?
Malcolm Jenkins.
Other than Malcolm Jenkins, is Schwartz. Schwartz puts the responsibility on him. No, that's completely an all fault.
Okay.
610-632-0975. Jerry in Philly's on the Fnac. Hey, Jerry. Jerry.
Morning, boys. How are you?
Morning, Jerry.
Hi, Jerry.
Before I get on to sports, 18 years ago, I had an appointment in Atlantic City at 8:30 in the morning, and I was doing business and wasn't listening to the radio, and then got back in the car and heard that this plane had run into a building.
Yeah.
And was still listening, and Anthony Gargano, who said that one building just came down, was the first time that I realized the severity of what had happened. So when I look at that day, it's funny, Anthony started the day.
Yeah.
On the radio, and you said that building just, one of the buildings just came down.
We were at this bar, Jar, in the Northeast, lower Northeast, and it was weird. I went to KYW to check the traffic on 95, and I heard about a plane. And the next thing you know, I get there and you continue, Jar. It was so surreal that day, and every time I don't know about you, Jar. When you look at the date and you see 9/11, doesn't your heart sink?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I mean, when you live, 3,000-4,000 lives, whatever it was. And people who went to work that morning and didn't come back is wild. But what started that day or what started the light bulb was you.
Wow.
Wild, 18, bro. It's hard to believe, too, Jer. 18 years. That's I mean, where did that blink of an eye, right?
How about it? But
for my lifetime, Jerry, real quick, too, though, it's one of those, like, before 9/11 and after 9/11, things changed so much.
Yeah.
Oh, sure, and you're a young enough man with it. You were young enough to kind of glaze over it a little bit.
Well, I understand. I was, you know, a professional adult at that time, and I understood what happened, man. And well, everything before is different than everything is now after.
Oh, sure. The whole world.
Yep.
But real quick, Sal Powell had made 2 points yesterday that I thought were interesting. First one was, Schwartz has given up less points in 4 years than any team in football, 18 and a half points.
Yeah.
I thought that was interesting.
It is.
There is a scoreboard.
It really is. I mean, doesn't it take you back? I mean, listen, you're an ultimate sportsman from way back. That whole bend but don't break thing.
Yep. That's what he does. I mean, he keeps him in front. That's his mantra right there. Keep him in front of you. And the other piece was the points. And, he only blitzed in the first half for drop-back passes. He blitzed 26% of the time. And in the second half, he only blitzed 9% of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
On drop-back passes. That was another one that was kind of like, how about it, Sal? Sal went to the well pretty well. And one last thing, I mentioned, two games out, Yelich is out in Milwaukee. They still haven't won had a win streak over 5 or 6 games. Go, Phils. Take care, fellas. Have a good day.
Right.
Wait, Jerry, wait.
Yeah.
Don't hit and run. Because we got into it over the Phillies. I'm perplexed.
5 and 6 games.
Yeah. All right? I'm perplexed. Because, listen, I love them like you love them. But you don't see the flaws with this team?
Oh, of course you do. But, let's go back to when they win. You had a Romero who was a shutout or dropped down 7th inning. The Red Sox let him go. They picked him up in July. Mattson couldn't get, or Mad Dog couldn't get his mother out most of the season. He turns into the 8th inning closeout. And you had Lidge doing Lidge. Their top starter was, what's his name, the left hander, Jamie Moyer. There's stupid stuff that happens all the time. I just see they can hit the ball, and that's what the 08-09 guys did.
That lineup, it fit, right? Like, I've had conversations at length with Charlie, Jer, about the lineup. And that lineup fit. This lineup, it doesn't have the right, correct balance. I just think they're built so faultily that the only reason why they're in it is because there is a second wild card.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. It's just
like,
it's a fact.
You know great baseball. And part of me gets frustrated that this is not good baseball. It's not good ball.
No, well, I hate to sound like an old guy, but analytics has ruined everything when you look at
I hear you, brother.
The allure of it. It's there. It's supposed to be followed. It's a great way for managers and people to keep an eye on teams.
Yeah, it's a tool, but it can't be religion, and it is religion down there.
Now, they are only 2 back, but here's the problem. The Cubs are a major problem. Now, Yelich, Jared says, is out for the year. He shattered his kneecap.
That was a shame.
Yeah.
I love Yelich, man.
I know it helps the Phillies, but, dude, watching that guy play.
Nah, he's a ball player. He's a great ball player, man. He really is.
Phillies could have had him for nothing.
I know.
Way to go, Matt.
Matt stinks, all right? But they are 2 out. They have, and here's the problem, where we talk about it again. They're 2 out. But the Cubs, because the Cubs lost last night, you still got to go face that juggernaut. And they're still behind, even though Milwaukee, even though you got no Yelich.
And you got a team to jump, 2 teams to jump, essentially.
Right.
It's hard.
I mean, that's, and tonight you turn around, and who's starting? Eflin.
Yeah, Eflin.
Against
Eflin
the Braves.
Eflin Keuchel.
I told you they win last night.
Yes, you did.
Which is why they haven't won more than 4 straight all year.
Right. I told you they win last night. They're going to lose tonight because Eflin. Look, they did their best to give it up last night. I mean, it was 4-0. That's a cruise. That's a 9 four wins.
Yes.
Right? Instead, it got hairy.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal. The Cubs got two more with San Diego, three with Pittsburgh at home, three with Cincinnati for their next couple of series. 610-632-0975, midday show. Carson Wentz at 11:50. We'll hear him live right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez middays. The Fanatic.
I love the Judas. He changes my screen to a shot of Rodney McLeod with a receiver almost in his arms, like he's about to body slam him.
Oh, yeah.
The problem is, what the Tunis didn't realize is that he allowed the guy to catch the ball that far down the field.
Oh, okay.
Well, you make up your mind on
that. That was the play in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know.
It's a good play.
Actually, it wasn't. If you actually go back and look at the whole play, it wasn't. Hey, listen. He's a serviceable vet. I like him. He's a good guy to have on the team, but he's not that good. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. He's not a guy that's going to the great safety play. Like, that's my point. Is that you guys? Like, what are you looking at? Like, of all the great safety play that you've seen in your life, you think that's great safety play?
I think he's good to pair up with Malcolm Jenkins.
All right.
When he went down, they were hurt last year.
Yeah. Listen, it doesn't matter if you have slop behind you. You're going to look better than you really are. Unless you're really an elite player. He's not an elite player. Gotta call it the way I see it.
I mean, I'm not saying he's top five.
Dude, I mean, you could die on the McLeod tree. Go ahead. I don't want to rip the dude because I like him as a veteran kind of presence. But, you know, I mean, of all the safeties that we've seen in our lives, he does not crack the top 1,000.
To use Mikey Miss's line about Nelson Aguilar, he said, you could shake a tree and 100 Nelson Aguilar.
That was my line.
Or your line?
That was my line, all right? The Aguilar tree. I said
yeah,
the Aguilar
shake
tree.
It, it comes out. Same thing with McLeod. He's that kind of guy. Like, you go around the league, is he going to be a top?
You call him Sean Considine?
Yes.
Kind of.
No.
Sean Considine.
It's all, you understand. I don't know why are you getting all chunky over a guy that's better than Sean Considine?
Can't compare him to Sean Considine.
He's not. He obviously Sean Considine stunk. All right,
so couldn't play.
McLeod's not is a veteran. He belongs in the league. He has belonged in the league, but you know. And by the way, look where he came from. Look at his past and see who intersects with his past.
Who's that?
I'm trying to tell him to go back and look at where McLeod came from.
At the Rams.
Right.
Fisher.
No, but like, you know, if I have intel on a player, don't I have intel on a player?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All right. I kind of see it. Like,
guy who was a coach in the
Rams. I look at stuff. We look at tape all the time. Yeah. Last year, I'm looking at tape all the time with people.
Before he was employed in the league.
And you see, like, where you get guys in his right position, what they were supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to help you, Junis.
Trying to help out the kid.
You know?
By the way, tonight,
I love you.
The Ron Jaworski Show, back once again. Join us tonight from 6 to 7 at Ramblewood Country Club. And we'll hear from the Eagle current quarterback, not Jaws, today at 11:50. Carson going to speak. So
I love the Jaws Show.
Yeah, tonight, 6 o'clock down at Ramblewood. It'll be a good time out there, so make sure you get out there and check it out. Let's go to Brazil. Well, we're going to go to Philly to talk to Brazil on the Fanatic. What's up, Brazil?
Hey, man. First of all, I don't like kissing up, but I want to say that I really appreciate Jason's input on sports. Before, when he was working with Mike, I used to think he was a little bit of a goof, but now that he's on with Anthony, he's real good. And
he's just less of a goof.
I thought he was a goof.
You might have been right, Brazil. You might have been right.
What's happening, Brazil?
What's up, man? Next thing I was going to say, the basketball team against France, I saw it coming, man. I thought that they were going to lose that game because sometimes, you know, when you think you're the best and you get too confident, you ended up, you know, laying egg.
Yeah. You're right.
Also, about that, I don't know if you guys saw it or already talked about it in the show, but the lady in Iran, the lady that burned herself because she wasn't allowed to go inside the soccer field. She was going to be jailed for a couple months, and then she ended up killing herself. I don't know if you guys saw that or not.
You know what? I missed that story.
She doused herself in gasoline and lit herself on fire outside the stadium.
I missed that story.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah, she, you know, because she dressed like a man so she could get inside the soccer field. And,
wow.
She went to jail and she ended up killing herself because she didn't want to be in jail.
That's awful.
So it's one of those things that make us happy to live in a free country.
Amen, brother.
You know, have
on 9/11, that's the take, Brazil. Excellent. Right. Where are you from, my friend?
I'm from Brazil. Yeah, we talked before. I told you that when I come to the U.S., you helped me with the sport.
No, I do remember. I didn't know that. But Brazil's your first name too?
No, but it's the nickname I use. A couple friends call me Brazil. That's why.
It's cool, man. I love it. I told you about Recife, right? I was in Recife.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Recife?
Real nice over there.
Oh, it was beautiful, man.
I wanted to make one last point. You know, with the defense, the Eagles' defense, we tend to overreact. It's the first game of the season. I think they're going to make adjustments. We don't have, you know, every time there's a game like that, we tend to overreact. So I think we should just stay back a little bit and wait for them to
yeah, you know what it is, though? That's the fun of it, Brazil. You know? You're right. Like, without a doubt. Like, I'll overreact 1,000 times before the Super Bowl, right? Or before the playoffs. Part of it is it feels like it's part of the ride. You know, part of the journey.
And you live in the now with football, and you live in the now for
it's kind of what I like about it. Like, you know,
yeah.
It fuels the passion, Brazil. Yeah. You know about passion.
Well, think about it, because you can't erase the memory of shoddy defensive play in week one, that first half, that easily.
Yes.
You got to wait a week to do it.
Yeah.
But this week presents a far different challenge. And so you go into week two, and you go, well, the only data we have of the starters playing was what happened in week one. And we know going into week two against Matt Ryan at their building, where they lost in week one, they didn't look good. Was their offense a product of the Viking defense and how great it was in week one? Or are they going to end up being a really good offense, the Atlanta Falcons, when they face other teams other than Minnesota?
Yeah, well is there protection? They have protection. Obviously, they have a tremendous skill set of, you know, that kind of talent. But yeah, I'm curious to see what kind of protection issues they have. Can the Eagles exploit it? From the Eagles' standpoint, I'm looking at this game. I'm fascinated by this game because what I love about the NFL is it's like, what did we learn? Like, what did we learn about the squad?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's relation. Sometimes A plus B equals C. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if a team plays another team and you play that team, sometimes the styles make fights in that sense. But sometimes you can find out about a unit. Like, what is that D-line like? Can you get enough pressure?
Do
you need pass rush help? The beauty of whatever happens between now and October, Howie is a gunslinger, right? So it never was the trade deadline. That never existed in the NFL up until the young GMs came in and were like, well, why?
Just because we haven't doesn't mean we shouldn't.
Right. I mean, you know, why not? You got a guy coming on his last year of a contract and you know you're not going to re-sign him. Why not make a move? You look at my team. You have movement nowadays. And
yep.
If they need another pass rusher, you know, I mean, how is a guy? And you watch, they're all going to try to cherry pick Miami.
Yeah, and you're right. And that's what they did with Jay Ajayi. And he helped.
Yeah.
And he comes here, and, you know, you get a guy when his stock's a little down too in Jay Ajayi, because there were some locker room issues down there. He had the creaky knees, but Howie goes, well, I can get something out of Ajayi that can help me. I'm not dependent on him to do everything, but hey, Howie, look, I think Howie's going to make, with this Malik Jackson situation, and it appears like he's done for the year, I think Howie's going to make several moves until he finds the one he's most comfortable with. Just because they made a roster move yesterday doesn't mean that that's going to be the fix 2 weeks from now. Teams get into different situations. They go, well, we're not going anywhere this year. Let me try and get an asset for this guy. I mean, he's in the last year of a deal.
Exactly.
Let me see. If I can get a fifth-round pick for this guy, that's good because he's not going to help me this year.
No, you also like salary-wise. I mean, the reason why you make a lot of trades is because of cap.
Yep, absolutely. And Howie's the master manipulator of the cap. Let's go to Ian in West Philly. He joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Ian. Ian.
Hey, fellas. How's it going, brother?
Good, Ian.
Good. You know how it's going to be a good day. I'm a UPS driver, and I know Steve, actually. And you know it's a good day when you pull into your parking spot and you get out of your vehicle, and that's when the call comes to me. So, you know what I mean? Everything's lining up today, brother.
Wow, man. One of those days.
Well, you know, do we devote this show to you guys?
Well, man, every day devoted to everybody who's working. Labor Day is for everybody, you know?
Yeah. So, you guys work hard, too. When you get around, like, after Thanksgiving, you guys are on a grind, man.
Well, that's true. But I'm telling you this, man. It's picking up. It's all year long now for a company like UPS, man. We're busting it up. 24/7, 365.
Because everything now is delivered. Everything now is online. Give it to me.
Peak doesn't end, brother.
Yeah, but let's get down to the other business, man. First of all, before I get into that, and that waste management reading you did yesterday, that might have been some of your best work, brother. that was quality. It was seamless, bro. You had me cracking up. But I'm, like, excited, man, about how it looks like Carson is getting back to the kill. You know, they look like they're moving a little bit away from that run pass, the RPO stuff, and more back to what he's, like, successful about. I'm excited about that. One thing I'm a little worried about, because I got a hit and run, is the way that Deuce is using the running backs. He seems to move them in blindly and rotate them just for the sake of rotating it. I'm all down for rotating, but you got to rotate them with a sense of understanding of what those players are best at. And use them more at an appropriate time.
Boy, you said that great, Ian. I love the way you said that Deuce uses his rotation blindly. Like, you have to have a feel. You have to feel, hey, Jordan Howard is picking up 7 yards a carry. Let's go get him a little bit more.
Yeah, but some of it is, it's interesting, because your point is really well taken, Ian. The only problem is, you know, part of that is with Doug is the play caller.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he can say all he wants that he's not looking at who's in the game, but he really is. I mean, come on. You don't call certain plays, have certain packages with interchangeable backs. That would be foolish.
No, you accentuate their strengths when they're in the game.
Like, you know, and it was on Doug that, if you remember, Jordan Howard has two big runs in the first half, second quarter. Two good poof, poof. And Doug then calls on the third, after the two runs, he calls a wide receiver screen. Now, what kind of sense is that? You either go back to the run or you play action it. Now, I know you're trying to set up stuff for later in the game, but you don't need to run it there. You don't need to run that wide receiver screen. You need to build off of what you've been building.
That would have been a perfect spot to take a shot down the field because they were trailing in the game at that
point. And they hadn't gone down the field.
Yeah.
And so, to me, that's where you run the play action, because it wasn't, I hate the delayed runs and I hate the shotgun runs. Like, I want to go forward. Like, offensive linemen want to hit. They want to move forward.
Drive, yeah.
So, that's what Howard does. Howard, you know, he's submarining in the line. Like, they're moving.
Yeah.
With Howard.
So, I would have ran
more play action.
To see the usage this week, because Sproles was certainly featured
in that
game.
And that was because of Doug. That's not Deuce.
No. Maybe that's because he's a veteran and you trust veterans more. But like, some of the situations didn't make sense, like that third and one when you pitch the ball to Sproles, and Howard had already had those two runs at that point in the game.
Yeah,
knowing that this is a guy that can fall forward for a yard easily.
Yeah,
you know, and the line was opening up holes big enough for him to get that 1 yard. And he also got, what do you do, three sneaks in the game?
Love that. I love the sneaks. I think that's the best thing to do. is those sneaks. Yeah. I love that.
That offensive line knows they can drive it forward enough for Carson to get a yard.
One of those sneaks was their first drive of the second half. It was the third and one. They keep the series going. When he gets the first down, they end up scoring the touchdown.
It's just a fourth down, wasn't it?
That's smart.
Was it fourth down? It was either third or fourth and one.
Yeah, and they kept it going.
But that's I love that. I love Doug just going, not screwing around, and we're going to go. Because remember the pitch.
Yeah.
Like, the pitch was a mistake. So I love going, you know, I'm going to stink. I want to do something on the show. All right?
What do you want to do?
So I want to hear it, Junis. Give me this. Right, I love that.
Yeah.
All right? It's one of my favorite. You know, when he's changing the play, I love kill, kill. And it was funny because I heard Brady, was it Brady the other night? And it was very thin, his kill, kill.
Not authoritative?
No. But Carson's got a great kill, kill. So I want to go into this. I want to use the kill, kill, because the kill, kill is an audible. So I want to empower the audience and everybody on the show to use the kill, kill. So if we're down a road and you as an audience member want to take it somewhere else, you call for the kill, kill. And then you can shift the gears of the show.
You can get kill, kill into a Sixers point.
Yes.
Or a Phillies.
Right.
So, for example, if I start saying, let's talk about the Mike Scott situation, Anthony, you would say,
kill, 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 kill.
You're audibling out.
Right.
You don't want to play it in the deep end of defense.
I want to use it, and I want to give the audience some audible power. Some kill, kill power.
So that you're giving them the autonomy that Doug gives to Carson.
Right.
Are you giving them, you going full Peyton Manning autonomy?
No.
Omaha.
But for the play, they can run the play because we could be knee deep in the Eagles talk and or whatever, you know. And the audience and the caller can call up and go, kill, 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 and then run a play.
Make their point.
What if they kill, kill and go, I want to talk about Alain Vigneault?
I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You're giving them the autonomy. You're putting a lot of trust in them.
They could change the play.
Yeah. Well,
that's a 10-yard loss.
We're going to hear from
the plays always work.
We're going to hear from Kill Kill coming up next. Carson.
I love Kill Kill.
Yeah, so he's going to speak his Wednesday availability. We'll bring it to you live coming up
kill,
next.
Kill Kill!
610-632-0975. This is the Midday Show. Kill Kill. That's Anthony Gargano. Jason Martinez, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays. The Fanatic.
Kill, kill. Midday Show.
What are you killing?
I don't know. I just want to say. Because there's no better. There's no. Like, I love that sound. First of all, I trust Carson implicitly to see what he's looking at. The one thing I do have a lot of trust, I go overboard with my trust in Wentz.
No, you'd love him.
But, like, I trust where he, what he sees. The thing that has me so giddy about the offense is look what he did with Alshon.
Mm-hmm.
At Cousins Corner, we had on Andrew's best friend.
Charles Davis.
You love Charles. CD's the man.
I'm a big CD fan.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
Yeah, good analyst.
He's admirable. He's terrific.
He called me.
Yeah, no, he's a great dude. He really is. So, but I always like to get the analyst on after they just saw the game. I'm like, what do you see? Like, what did you see?
Mm-hmm.
Better than before the game because, you know, they have their production meeting. Use that Friday and, you know. They're not going to.
We got Carson.
We
got Carson. So here's Carson Wentz.
How we do? As long as we convert, I love it.
Does your cadence factor into that too? You kind of like get them all, catch them off guard.
It can at times. I mean, you don't try not to overthink it because you know it's to some extent you're like, we believe our guys are going to be able to win this surge, and I try not to overcomplicate it sometimes too.
You guys were 8 points or down in the second half. What can you even look back on? What can we take on? Why you were successful there?
You know, I thought it, honestly, we just, our preparation and play calling, in those situations was so key. And, you know, we've obviously we know the Redskins really well. They know us really well. And just really taking a look at the package that we put in that week, I think that really kind of made the difference in that second half. And we were able to just play fast and execute.
Haven't played the Falcons in a while because of the injuries. And what did you learn watching those two games from the sidelines? And what have you seen
Yeah, I mean, you watch them on film. You watch the games from last year. Obviously, you know they're gonna let you take things underneath. You know they're gonna make you kind of earn it down the field. And sometimes you just got to be patient and let the shot plays come to you and take what's given. You know, got to get the run game going as well to kind of tighten their coverage up a little bit. So you know, at the end of the day, we're just gonna have to play our game and like I said, take what they give us and be patient.
Of course, we've only practiced with Deshaun until that Redskins game, just flying down the field. It almost looks like a, at least on TV, it almost feels like a video game we're watching. Are you surprised just how fast Deshaun is and just how you can just air it out?
I mean, not anymore, because I've seen it since he got here. You know, it's one of those things people talk about, you know, is he still fast? He's getting up there in age. I've seen it from the jump since he got here. You know, he can roll, and it was good to kind of use that speed as a weapon for us and get those big plays on Sunday.
Everybody obviously in the league is aware of what he can do, but putting those two plays on film, what ripple effect does it have on the defenses that are going to face him as you guys go along?
Yeah, I think it's huge. I mean, you could argue to some extent an element that we've missed at times over the years, and just to have that be able to open up some things for everybody else, open up some things for him as well. You know, he's not always just taking the top off, but the thing that I like, you know, we were creative with how we got to him. You know, it wasn't necessarily the exact coverage that you take shots necessarily, but the way we were able to design those plays. So we're going to find ways to get him involved down the field every week, and Coach does a good job of that.
Carson, you talked about sort of Dan playing his mentality, a lot of cover three. We always talked about your aggressiveness as a player. Do you have to remind yourself that maybe there's a bait and switch out there?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, that's the biggest thing, just watching the film. Just got to keep reminding myself to be patient. You know, coach is going to call a great game. I'd already trust in that, and just take what's there, not move the chains, and then, you know, when they get aggressive, then we can be aggressive. And so, you know, it's a little bit of a chess match and who can break first. But, yeah, just got to keep telling myself and telling the whole offense, just we got to be patient and the shots will come.
Carson, when did Washington the second half that the Dolphins now was that Dallas? How did that help open up the game in the second half? What did you see from Dallas having been
Yeah, I mean, I thought Dallas looked great. You know, I think he looked great all spring and obviously training camp before the injury. And, you know, it's good to get him coming along the way he has. And using 12 personnel, and honestly, I think we can use 12 and 11 exclusively and do so many really good things in both those packages. And the other day we just got in those sets and they were working for us. So that's something that we'll definitely kind of keep using as we go when you have two tight ends the way we do, being able to use them effectively both in the passing game and in the running game, it helps a lot.
I can't imagine that most quarterbacks like being in 30-10, 30-15. What's your mindset when you're in those situations? Are you thinking, like, let's just live for the next play? Or are you improvising?
Yeah, it's a fine line. It's a fine line. Obviously, I want to stay on the field first and foremost. But, you know, trying to learn, just take what's there. And at times, you know, you got to improvise and make a play. And it worked out for us the other day. So, again, it's always a fine line. You know, defenses are going to scheme up and play things differently as the year goes on and take what's there. But we were able to extend some of those plays. And, you know, Ertz and Alshon did a great job just kind of uncovering and getting open. And, you know, obviously that's not something you always want to run around and make plays. But when it's there to be had and you can move the chains, those are huge plays.
Are there a lot of plays in the playbook for 30, 10, 30, 15?
Not really. I mean, there's only so many things you can dial up. And, you know, oftentimes the defense is playing soft and you got to take underneath stuff unless you can make a play. But there's definitely times where you can get in the perfect play and take a shot down the field.
It's just one game. Do you feel like your deep ball touch has gotten better, or do you say someone who's better tracking their balls?
It's hard to say. I mean, having a guy like Deshaun obviously helps a ton. And so not playing with him over the years and having him out there, I mean, that helps without a doubt. And I just feel like it's something that I've worked on really since I got in the league, and I'll keep getting better at it.
So what are you guys doing in practice this week to get off to better starts so you guys look more like the team that we saw really in the second half last week?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. It's you try not to overthink it and just kind of focus in on what we do well and execute those things early. And like I said, this is going to be a week we're going to have to stay patient. So come out early and just kind of figure out what their plan is for us and just get the run game going and stay patient and do our thing. But we try not to overthink it and over worry about it.
You were asked, I was wondering if you've reached out to Nick Foles at all since his injury and just
yeah.
Your thoughts in general.
Yeah, I did. I did reach out to Nick, and I love Nick to death and the competitor that he is. So that's really a bummer and unfortunate, but that's what we sign up for. You know, when you play this game, there's just so many things you can't control, and I know he believes that. He believes that God's using it for a reason. So to be able to just go through it from a faith-filled standpoint for him, I know it's tough, but I know he'll handle it well.
You were asked a couple times during the preseason, Carson, about not scrambling in practice. You extended plays several times on Sunday. It turned out pretty well.
Yeah.
The experience. I mean, obviously you didn't need to practice.
Yeah. It's a fine line. I didn't go looking for it. Just the way the pocket got condensed and not able to get out. And it's something I try not to overthink and just kind of let instincts take over. And we were able to stay on the field. And like I said, those were huge, huge plays in that game. And we're not going to make a living out of running around and doing those things. But when it's there, we're gonna make the play.
Carson, how often do you go into a play without like a designed play call that you just kind of call on?
We do it at times. And sometimes it's, on my own, but a lot of times coach gives me ideas and, a couple plays here or there that, whether he tells me in the headset or it's things we've talked about quite a bit during the week. So guys know, hey, it's not the whole playbook we're going to get to. We got a select package of plays that we're going to get to. And, we were able to do that a couple times on Sunday. And it's something that over the years we've done here and there. And I think it's been effective for us.
What do you like about it?
I think it gives us a chance to just see the defense, see what they're doing, and just kind of keep it simple and play fast. You know, when we're able to communicate well and get everyone on the same page, it's just something that, in theory, you should be able to get yourself in the best play and hopefully execute it.
Could you give us one of your new offseason?
Go ahead.
With your new offseason, like that, did you feel any differently coming out of the game in terms of recovery, soreness, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I did feel good coming out of the game, and that's is it the recovery and the diet and all that, or is it the fact that the O-line dominated and I barely got touched? It's a lot of those factors. So, but I do think those things have helped me and will continue to help me.
Carson, do you think it's an advantage where your receivers are so different, like Alshon and Sean, size-wise, speed-wise, kind of puts a defense in kind of a climate?
Yeah, it's definitely nice having guys with different skill sets like that and the way they complement each other so well, and not just those two, but Nelson in the slot and being able to kind of move all of those guys from the slot to outside, and they're also versatile and do so many different things, and then Nelly in the running game as well getting involved, and so just having a complement of guys like that, it makes my life easy for sure.
Take two more.
What running back screens, it seems like a few times, is that just still
getting used to Miles? One of them they had covered and just dirted that one. Another one we just missed. And those are things that, every Sunday it's kind of a, I don't want to say a roll of the dice, but, if the defense reads them, you got nothing you can really do. So I'm not too worried about those, and I know Coach will get those dialed up, and we'll hit some of those as the year goes.
Obviously, it's pretty loud in the dome. Silent count. What are some of the keys to making that work and execute?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is just here in practice, over the next few days, kind of getting that dialed in and basically as a quarterback, staying quiet so guys get used to the fact that they can barely hear me, and working on hand signals and communication. And I think a lot of that is happens here in practice, and to some extent you can only prepare for it so much, and then we just got to go execute on Sunday.
You mentioned Nelson there a few times. Deshaun made a comment after the game that Nelson wasn't getting as much as the other guys that day. Are you cognizant of who's getting the ball, and do you say anything to those guys after?
Yeah, after the game, obviously, you can look at the stat book and see, what's going on. But during the game, you find matchups and you go with what you're feeling. And when it's zone coverage, you just go with where the defense tells you to go with the ball. And obviously, You know, Nelson didn't have a big game statistically. You know, we still had shots for him. We just missed a couple of them. So it's definitely something that I'm not worried about. I don't think he is either. And I know, you know, like we've talked about all offseason, we're going to have weeks where one guy's going to go off and the other guy's going to barely get any, and then it's going to switch. And so that's just going to be how it's going to be this year. And I think guys understand that. Okay, thanks, guys.
All right, there he is. Eagles quarterback Carson Wentz.
I got to worry about Nelson Aguilar being happy?
Uh-oh.
Get the hell out of here. Yeah. That question is absurd.
He'll take what he gets and be happy with it.
Are you kidding? Well, Nelson, you want to bleep Nelson. All due respect, I'm not trying to be mean, but are you kidding me? Now, all of a sudden, Nelson Aguilar has to be happy? See, this is the problem with sports. All right? Not everybody's great. All right? This is it. Not everybody's great. Not everybody deserves. This is not equal treatment. All right? Certain guys should not make a peep. And Aguilar is a case study. Now, he has it, so that's fine. But this idea that that has to be a question is absurd. It's absurd that we're worried that somebody would be worried about Nelson Aguilar getting enough touches. Get the hell out of here. DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. All right?
That hurts.
Yeah. And even he, you know, he can eat less. But I'm worried about feeding DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey. I'm not worried about anybody else. Anybody else? You get a touch here? Fine. That's insane to me.
You can't cater to Nelson Aguilar.
Can I ask you a question?
He's not your game breaker.
Being the former journalist that you are and still current journalist and great journalist, does that come from Nelson Aguilar, whoever asked that question? Or do you think that journalist actually wanted to know? Because remember the article that came out after the season?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a great question. And I don't know. I don't know if the reporter has a great relationship with Aguilar, and Aguilar, you know, was chirping at him like, dude.
Got five targets.
You know, listen, let me just preface this whole thing by saying Nelson Aguilar didn't say anything. I believe he didn't say anything. I think the kid's a great soldier, all right? So I'm not picking on him, and I'm not making out that he did say anything, because I believe he didn't. I'm reacting to the question. Because the question that surrounds a football team, again, is how do you distribute the rock? Like, we've talked about distribution on the offense and that being a delicate situation. But it's a delicate situation for two guys. For DeSean Jackson, who you want happy, and Alshon Jeffrey, who you want happy.
And we assume that Alshon Jeffrey probably did gripe last year. Before Foles came in.
Yes. No, I do believe that all was legit.
Yeah.
That Ertz got too many targets, and I think it has to do with his back, but whatever. That's what, because I thought the throw over the middle is a lot easier than, mm-hmm. you know, torquing your body and uncorking it down, whatever. So I do believe that there was some chatter like, his boy, this and that. Before we went to Carson, I was going to tell you a story about Charles Davis. Charles Davis brought up at Cousins Corner the idea of going specifically to Alshon Jeffrey, keeping him happy, and he even brought up limiting Ertz is a big deal, all right? Because he was too reliant upon Zach Ertz. Charles brought that up, and he loved the distribution. You know, and again, Carson's right. Everything, coverage dictates everything. Who's getting the ball? All right? You're going to roll coverage to Sean's way. Somebody else is getting the ball. Could be Aguilar. But the point of the matter is the only two guys that have to have their touches is DeSean Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey.
So I have the audio from Carson's to Alshon's first completion of the year. And Charles brought up the Nick Foles thing. Do you want to hear it real quick?
Yeah, good.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
Here's Wentz on the fake. Throwing complete. Alshon. Alshon Jeffrey has his first catch today. Working against Josh Norman, it's good for a Philadelphia first down.
And that's significant, not just for the first down, but remember, Alshon Jeffrey really clicked well with Nick Foles, didn't he? They had a nice connection that many thought was lacking with Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey. So I know they worked hard in the offseason to try and get that going.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was talking
and
about.
And it bore fruit.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Those guys, listen, Nelson Aguilar, chances are, won't be here next year. Nelson Aguilar is, I said it a million times, he's a tree. There's a million of them on the tree. Doesn't mean I dislike. I think he's a really good energy dude. I root for him. I think he's a nice, a real nice guy. But as far as ability and making a statement, everybody's not made equal. And certain guys get certain rules. Those two guys, Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey, are the ones that need to eat. They need to see touches and targets.
They're the catalysts.
That's why the question what floored me. The fact that he would fix yourself. Well, Nelson, they get, well, you know what, bleep, my reaction is bleep Nelson. I love Nelson, but Nelson will get what I give him.
Yeah, and he's going to have to be happy with it. There's going to be a week where he gets targeted more because Carson kept saying it in that press conference, take what's there.
Yeah, but here's the thing.
And eventually there's going to be a time when you're going to have to go to him, he's not in priority.
You're not winning throwing a ball to Nelson Aguilar.
No, he's not an X factor.
You're winning throwing a ball to Deshaun Jackson and Alshon Jeffrey.
And I agree with the point, too, that Charles made that you just told the story about, is that this reliance going to Ertz and using that and getting too comfortable again will then limit the amount that you go to those other guys.
Listen,
so
you almost have
to protect against
Ertz
that.
Ertz is a terrific player.
Yep.
A terrific player. But and you get it down the field, right? Like, you can get him down the field at times. And there's plays, you get him some big plays. But, you know, there's a lot of plays over the middle for 5 and 6 yards. And he's down in a heap, you know, that's not chunk play. You need chunk plays.
Yeah.
This offense is that good that you get chunk plays.
Yeah, when you got Deshaun, you have to stretch the field because that's when, if you establish the ability to stretch the field each week with Deshaun, and I'm not saying you got to have 250-plus-yard touchdowns, but just the ability to go down the field and have him be able to track and catch balls, then that defense is in such a disadvantageous position. Because now they got a respect over the top. And that opens up everything else. For Alshon, for Ertz, for Goddard, even Aguilar. 610-632-0975. Good to hear from the QB, though. He just kept saying it repeatedly. We got to take what's there. I mean, you got to take what's there. Doug talked about it before the season started. Let the offense work for you. And that's exactly what he did in that second half on Sunday. And he didn't. The other thing he didn't do it was he didn't, like, you know, in certain situations, he took what was there, found the right guy to get the ball to in the second half, and he didn't try and do it all himself and put it, and by virtue of putting himself in peril. That internal clock that he had in the game, in the pocket especially, looked markedly different than last year.
Markedly different.
Oh, you could see it. And maybe it's shedding that knee brace, the confidence, even another season removed essentially from the injury. And not dealing with the back injury. You saw the effect of it. And can he sustain and be a guy that's in the MVP conversation like he was 2 years ago? Well, he's off to a good start. 610-632.
Kill!
Kill Kill is right. It's the Midday Show. For some reason, that reminds me of Thanksgiving.
Really?
Like hearing that. Like November weather. And just hearing like the...
You're obsessed with weather.
No, but just like that sound is so football. So like I associate football with crisp, cool air.
Well, I got news for
the
you.
The smell of
he's not going to be crisp
pumpkin
for a
spice.
While.
I know.
Enough with the pumpkin.
I know. No, I'm all pumpkin.
Next
down.
Week, Sunday is going to be 87, 88, 84, 84, 84, 86.
Yeah, I'm out. Not into that.
Just FYI.
Come on, give me a little September chill.
I hear you. I like that too, but you know. You're obsessed with it.
I am. I'm looking for the first night that it dips into the 40s.
Yeah,
I get excited.
Your squat starts going to be 88 degrees.
Yeah. 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show on 97.5 The Fan.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.